You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Came to tell you this morning that there is one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But through Jesus, there's many ways to connect with God. Title of this message is Supernatural Encounters Part 4, Connect with God Through Meditation and Adoration. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we declare you are welcome here. This house is yours. We don't just make room for you, but we give you the whole room. So Father, I declare that your word is true and every man's a liar. We declare your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I thank you right now for your word. We hide it in our hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would breathe upon your word and it would become logos. I declare in Jesus' mighty name for your word to go forward and accomplish everything that it set out to do. Now we declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. We say fear, you have to go. I pray spirit of religion, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come rule and reign in this house. We declare no one came to hear me, but we all came to hear you. So as a church, we pray, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen and amen. We are stewarding a prophetic word. The Lord said that this was the year of the supernatural. That means all of 2021, from January to December. So we're still stewarding it. He said it would be a year of Ephesians 3:20, that we would see exceedingly abundantly beyond what we could ever ask or think according to his power that works in us. What is the supernatural? It is what is beyond your ability. The Lord said we would experience what is beyond our ability. He said we would experience supernatural personal growth. How many say yes and amen to that word? And that we would encounter supernatural numeric growth here at Mercy Culture Church. So right now we are in a season we're calling supernatural encounters. So what is a supernatural encounter? A supernatural encounter is an encounter with God that is beyond your ability. It's when you encounter him in his glory, what you cannot make happen on your own. That's what a supernatural encounter is. We're in part 4 today. In part 1, we talked about daily encounters. Turn to your neighbor and say daily encounters. Daily encounters lead to supernatural encounters. If you did not hear this message, I encourage you, if you're a member of this church, make sure you hear part 1 on the podcast or YouTube, because your daily encounters are what leads to supernatural encounters. In part 2, we talked about connecting with God through movement and conversation. Part 3, we talked about connecting with God through solitude and expression. And remind you, all of these ways that you connect with God are all in the Connect with God assessment. And if you text encounters, you can learn about those. But before we get into the new ones today, I want to remind you, the first step to spiritual growing is spending daily time with the Lord. Someone say daily. Can't get away from it. It's daily. The second is learning how you best connect with God. That's what we do at Mercy Culture. And third, growing in your ability to connect with God. But let me give you a few warnings. I'll be giving these every week. They're so important. Don't try to mimic or copy how someone else connects with God. Don't be jealous how someone else connects with God. We all connect with God differently, and you just need to do you. Number 2, don't dishonor or devalue how some people connect with God. Don't look down on it. Don't mock it. Don't make fun of it. Don't dishonor it. If that's something that you've done in the past, you need to repent, because that will keep you from encountering God. And number 3, do not waste time getting distracted or arguing about doctrinally neutral issues. What's a doctrinally neutral issue? It's an issue that the Bible does not speak to or is not clear about. Don't waste your time focusing on the minors. Focus on the majors. And everyone who loves Facebook said amen. This morning, I'm going over 2 different ways to connect with God. The first is you can connect with God through meditation. You connect with God through meditation. Meditation is intentionally focusing on God. You connect with God by saturating yourself in his presence, by meditating on his word. Scripture is your meeting place. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Meditation is the rehearsal of what God said. I want to be very clear with this. Just like the enemy doesn't own October 31st, the world does not own meditation. Meditation is not a New Age concept or word. Meditation is a biblical word. And listen, just because you're hippies wearing yoga pants doesn't mean you get to take what God gave his bride. And you could try to use it or pervert it. It's not about opening your mind so your mind falls out. Meditation is rehearsing God's word. Meditation is biblical. Let me show you Joshua 1:8, where we first see it. It says this, the book of the law, or God's word, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night. This is not a suggestion. This is not take it or leave it advice. God is speaking to his spiritual leader that he raised up, and here's what he said. This is how you're successful. Why? This is so important. Spiritual success is in connecting with God through meditation. He said, meditate on it day and night. Don't let it depart from your mouth. See, biblical meditation is entertaining the mind of the Lord. What does it mean to not let it come out of your mouth? It means to constantly read it, to repeat it, to speak of it, to refresh it, and own it with memory. It's important to understand that when we read the Bible in English, it is such a watered down, diluted version of the entire meaning of Scripture. The original Hebrew and Greek language is so much richer than the English language. One rabbi said it like this, reading the Bible in English is like kissing a woman through a veil. You lose the touch of intimacy through the weaker language. So when we say the word meditation, there's 10 root words to the word meditation describing it. Of those 10, there are 6 sub-supporting words that also speak to its entirety as far as communicating or what it means. So there's this grandeur to it. So one of the relating root words is the Hebrew word soyethe, which means to reflect deeply on a subject, to speak enthusiastically about it, to diligently study it, and frequently, upon all occasions, consider what is God's will and desire about it. When it says day and night, it means to continuously meditate or continuously spend time with so that you might understand it. Let me give you some scriptures on meditation. The psalmist said in Psalm 77, I will ponder all of your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. The prophet Isaiah said this in verse 55, chapter 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Meditation is asking God for his thoughts and giving him your thoughts. Now, this is very important. I'm going to get into some important parts of this message. It's important that you hear this. What we meditate on is God's word. That is the purpose of meditation. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on the book of the law, God's word. So let me give you some practical advice. It is imperative for your supernatural personal growth. It is imperative for your supernatural encounters to read your Bible every day. Every single day. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you have learning disabilities and it's challenging to read. I can't believe I've authored 2 books and wrote all the words in them. It's challenging for me to read and write. It's difficult. I have to give great focus to it when I do it. But one of the things I've learned is I'm an audible learner. And so now with technology, you could have in your daily Bible app through YouVersion and on the Mercy Culture reading plans, apps will read you the Bible. So even for those that are challenged by disabilities at times or they find it difficult to do. And let me just speak to that. Despite how you best learn, there's a spiritual resistance to reading God's word. Does it make sense to you that you could watch an entire series on streaming TV in one weekend, but it's taken you a year and a half to go through Proverbs? Does that make sense to you? Do you know why it doesn't make sense? Because it's spiritual. There is a demonic resistance for people to hear God's word. I'm telling you, read your Bible every day. And part of the daily ministry plan that you're given when you go through MC Connect is you're given a daily reading plan. We have a 15-minute version and a 30-minute version. Let me give you a quick warning. Without meditating on God's word, this is so important, you are easily susceptible to false teaching and demonic activity. Let me say it like this. You are the first and easiest target of the enemy. You are the wandering sheep. You are the one that is straying from the fold. You are the one that's falling behind. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Scripture warns us about where we live today. And we see it so much because there's so many options of churches to go to. As soon as I go to a church and I get offended because the pastor uses a scripture that bothers me, I'll just go somewhere else. And that's fine, but you'll find yourself in the same situation over and over, not connecting with God because there's a part of his word that you won't meditate on. You won't entertain. There are some things in God's word that are challenging. It's hard to understand. Let me give you some advice. Just ask the author about it. Ask the Holy Spirit. Help him to show you and teach you. Help him to understand. I do this on a weekly basis. How about this? 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." We are seeing that through deconstruction right now. We're seeing that through false doctrine. We're seeing that through a poor theology. We are seeing right now people take God's word and fit it to their worldview rather than taking their worldview and fitting it to God's word versus taking God's word and letting it be the lamp into our feet and light into our path. This is huge right now in America. This is huge in the body of Christ. Church, you are easily deceived by what sounds good, but what isn't God if you don't know his word. Matthew 22, 29, Jesus said, "You are wrong because you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God." You will live in deception. You will find yourself deceived. "Well, pastor, I just go with my heart." Well, Paul says the heart's wicked above all things. Who can know it? Wouldn't trust it if I were you. What do you trust? His word. I was spending time with a young man one time and at the church I was at, and I was doing my best to disciple him. He was struggling with same-sex attraction. And I'm gonna begin to talk about same-sex attraction. And before I begin to talk about it, I wanna let you know that there's nothing judgmental about what I'm gonna say. And if you struggle with this particular temptation, you are as welcome in this house as anyone who struggles with any temptation. You are not your temptation. We love you, honor you, and celebrate you as a child of God, no matter what you're tempted with. But his particular temptation was same-sex attractions. And he said to me, "The Lord told me that he wants me to date this guy so that I could lead him to the Lord." And I said, "The problem is no scripture supports that. And every scripture that speaks to husbands is a biological male that stays a male and marries a biological woman that stays a woman. Because there's some confusion there too." And those, the scripture speaks to how they interact with each other, how husbands treat wives, how wives treat husbands, how fathers treat children, how children treat fathers and mothers. So there is no scripture that speaks to support what you say God said. See, this is what happens though, is people do not meditate on God's word. So they allow voices from the world to change their theology and doctrine, and then they begin to remove scriptures from their theology and doctrine that do not support their worldview. This is called deception. And what 1 Timothy told us is demons are the ones that are stirring this up. So you have things that people don't want to hear, so they begin to remove them from scripture. So take the gay community, for example. They didn't want to confront the six scriptures that completely rejected same-sex practice. So they abandoned a King James Bible and adopted a Queen James Bible. It's $28.45 on Amazon. And if you go look at this, they'll tell you that they omitted the six scriptures that this community found offensive. Three in the old, three in the new. The problem is they missed a scripture. It's in Revelations. It's the last book of the Bible where it says, if you add to this book or take away from this book, you'll get the curses in this book. Now brace yourself because I'm about to spank you. Because you just clapped about the Queen James Bible. But as your pastor, and some of you, your spiritual father, I want to ask you, what scriptures have you omitted? When you say things like, I can never forgive them for that. Oh, you got much more than six scriptures to take out of your Bible. You're gonna have to scribble out Matthew 23:23 if you're struggling with greed and you wanna say tithing is just Old Testament. Guess what? Greed is Old Testament and New Testament. It's quiet in this spirit-filled church. Some of you that struggle with gossip and slander and talking mess about people, you got a lot of verses to take out. And in fact, if you like talking about abominations, Proverbs 6 says gossip is an abomination. It's easy to point out other people's abominations. We could do this all day long, or we could say, let's meditate on your word and let's take everything that is in me that is not of you. Let me take the speck out of my eye so I can help my brother take theirs out of theirs. Let's be iron that sharpens iron. Let's be light that's in darkness. Let's not be compromised. Let's not be carnal. Let's not be cowardice. But let's be people, children of the light, sons and daughters that are going from glory to glory to glory, beholding his presence because we meditate on his word. It is so powerful when the people of God will say, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to honor it. I'm going to value it above my opinions, above my political party, above my social status. But I'm going to say that your word is supreme. There is a demonic attack. There is a demonic attack on God's word. You hear people say stuff like, well, you know, some of those stories in the Bible, you know, Jonah, I think that's more allegorical. I think those are more just, you know, stories. Okay, so you believe in a virgin's birth, but you don't believe a fish can swallow a man and spit him out? When does faith begin and end? Do you see where this goes?
Let me just warn you, as your pastor, be careful when people use God's word in a dishonoring way. I also want to say this, people could try to use God's word with witchcraft too, where they take God's word and try to hurt people. You notice how I spoke honoring to anyone who struggles with same-sex attraction? Do you know why? Because honor is assigning heaven's value. They deserve as much honor as your heterosexual sin deserves honor. Watch. What we are trying to do is we are trying to position ourselves in a place where we value God's word. Then we take his word and we bring it into our lives. Watch, Peter took a sword and cut off a Roman soldier's ear, and Jesus had to put it back. That's what the church has been doing for decades, is putting limbs back on people because the church has used the word wrong. The sword is meant for spiritual warfare. It's not meant to hurt people. At the same time, through love and kindness and mercy, we can talk about challenging issues and do it with kindness. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want you to hear this. This is so important. Please hear this today. What God tells you never supersedes scripture. And when he speaks to you, if it's God, scripture will support it. You know what I heard in my spirit this week? I heard that we're in the process of losing God's word like Israel lost the ark. Saul was anointed king, or was a king for 42 years. And he lost the ark in the beginning of his reign, and he never went after it because he never cared about it. We have God's word in front of us, and some of us are losing it, and it's in our hands. We have to value God's word. Church, without knowing God's word, without meditating on God's word, we will not know right from wrong or good from evil. I gotta hurry. Romans 1, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or meditate on God, he gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, other translation says, to do what is not done. They were filled with the manner of unrighteousness or injustice. This is so important because you have so many people that are talking about justice in the world. But debased mind people do not have the ability to provide justice because carnal mind people live in injustice. They can't do it if they wanted to. This is important because some of you have aligned with good causes that are full of foul spirits. And you cannot align with a foul spirit. It says this. This is what they're filled with. Evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. Guys, this is Romans 1 in the New Testament under grace. Look what it says. They not only do them, but get approval to those that practice them. How much do we hear about toleration in the world today? Are you reading the same scripture that I'm reading? Because it looks like we've lost meditation. So we don't know right from wrong anymore. We don't know good from evil anymore. It looks like we're in the brink of deceit. We're being destroyed. Where the enemy has come in and lied. And the church has bought it hook, line, and sinker. So now we are afraid. Now we are cowards. Now we are fearful of what anyone and everyone thinks. And we just want everybody to be happy. This is what scripture says. It is as evil to tolerate it as it is to practice it. But the church has been full of so much hypocrisy, so much hidden sin, that we've been quiet and silent on everything. Because I can't say anything about sin, because then you say something about my sin, and then all of us, we can just give in together, and we'll just all be quiet, and we'll bear no fruit. A debased mind is completely corrupt. I'm going to say something. I don't want it to come across offensive, but I do want it to come off offensive. We do not have the mental illness problem in America we think we do. We have a debased mind problem. We have a reprobate mind problem. You cannot remove God, the acknowledgement of God, from everything and then think that you're going to have clear thoughts, healthy thoughts, godly thoughts, pure thoughts. You are going to have corruption at every level. So yes, there's mental illness, because there's spiritual illness, because there's a debased mind that has corrupted the hearts of man, and it has led us into this place. I hear all these people talking about mental health awareness when we need spiritual health awareness. You cannot counsel out a demon. Now, people need pastoral care. People need godly counsel, wise counsel. Scripture is littered with that. If that's your profession, I celebrate you and honor you. Don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. What I am saying is we have a deliverance problem. Because the world is wicked, because we've tolerated this, and we must, watch, renew our minds. Romans 12, 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present yourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Notice that holiness and purity is the first part of spiritual renewal. Do not be conformed to this world, but transformed. That word transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, or metamorphosis, to be completely renewed by the renewal of your mind. That word renewal in the Passion Translation says total reformation. My wife says all the time, reformation is making the crooked way straight. I love this. In the Greek, it's translated to mean renovation. To have a renewed mind is a renovation. One of our worship leaders, Danny, owns a construction company, and they renovate things. And you know what they do when they renovate things? Is they take things that are broken and not working right, and they make them beautiful. Some of you that flip houses, you know this. Anytime you renovate, you increase the value. See, God is not trying to take something away from you and devalue you. He's trying to add value to you through the renewal of your mind. Listen, he doesn't want you to be lonely your whole life. He wants you to be whole your whole life. He doesn't want you to be broken. He wants you to be put back together. He wants you to be working. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be delivered. Listen, it is a value that is added. Meditating on God's word delivers you from demonic mental harassment. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That word thought captive means to take a prisoner with a spear. Here's what this means. When you take a thought captive, the thought that previously imprisoned you, that kept you bound, you now have the spear. And watch, this is what you're doing. It's a picture, it's a military term in the Greek, that you're literally holding demonic harassers at bay with a weapon. Church, God's word is a weapon
that holds demonic forces out. That's why we say, we prophesy, we declare, we sing, fear go. Holy Spirit come. Watch. We are keeping demonic harassment out, and we are keeping the presence of God or pure things in. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about such things. When you meditate on God's word, this is so important, you keep demonic thoughts out and godly thoughts in. That's what renews you. That's what renovates you. That's what reforms you, is keeping the demonic out and the Spirit of God in. Last thought on meditation, and I'll go to the next one. Joshua 1:8, God's telling Joshua, if you want to be successful, meditate on the word day and night. As I was preparing this, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, some of you, your spiritual success is encountering God through meditation. Let me pass to you for a moment. Some of you have not been spiritually successful. You have not been successful in relationships. You haven't been successful in faith. You have not been successful in obedience. And I want to come with an encouraging word to you. I saw the Lord holding success in prosperity and was waiting for you on the other side of meditation. Psalms 1, 2, and 3 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. Saying the same thing as Joshua 1. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Look at this. And whatever he does, he prospers. Oh, I love this. When you connect with God through meditation, everything you do prospers because you have the mind of the Lord. When you take the assessment, you can learn if you connect with God through meditation. Next one this morning is you connect with God through adoration. You feel closest to God when you are ministering to his heart through worship. When you worship, you forget others are in the room because your attention and affection is focused on him. Sounds, rhythms, cadence, and a song ushers you into a deeper place. That word adoration is from a Latin word, adetio, which means a designated act of worship due to God alone. See, when you are worshiping God, you are showing love, devotion, or assigning value. I was with Pastor Robert Morris of Gateway this week. One thing he said to a group of pastors was, worship is love expressed. Your adoration is you worshiping God. When you begin to look at this in the Hebrew and Greek, there's a robust description of adoration or of this level of worship. But over and over and over, you see about getting on your knees. You see kissing. You see laying prostrate before the Lord. You see this place of humility, this place of intimacy over and over and over. In fact, when I was reading all these definitions in the Hebrew and Greek, I was reminded, I believe it's in Mark 7, of a woman washing Jesus' feet. And he said, she's been washing my feet with her tears this entire time. When the spirit of religion was sitting there with Jesus, arguing with him over theology, one that encountered him through adoration wasn't worried about being right or wrong, but just wanted to be in his presence and be with him. Those that worship God in adoration are the ones that don't care what people think about them. They will be a mess in front of people. They will be undone around other people because they're not there for other people. It's amazing how many people go to church for other people. If
fact, when I was preparing this message, the Lord began to speak to my heart about husbands that are having a hard time being intimate with your wife, not just sexually, but you're having a hard time connecting with your wife emotionally and intimately. And I heard the Lord say, you'll connect with her when you start connecting with him. When you're able to be intimate with God, there will be breakthrough in your marriage. It's for somebody. Church, there is a war over worship. And this war has been going on from the beginning of time. You need to understand this. Satan's greatest desire is for you to worship him. He will settle for you to worship anything but him. But his greatest desire is for you to worship him. Do you know that Satan was made for worship? I'm going to read you a passage out of Ezekiel. This is a major prophet, and this is an intense scripture. And let me just explain for a second what's going on in Ezekiel chapter 28. You have the Lord who's speaking through the prophet to the king of Tyre. But he's speaking to a man about a spirit. It's important you understand this. He did this, Jesus did this with Peter when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you're an offense unto me. Where he wasn't calling Peter Satan, he was speaking to a spirit that was in operation through him. So we see a similar type and shadow in Ezekiel 28, where it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, raise a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, we know that he's not talking to this king because Eden was kept protected by a cherubim with a fiery angel, and the king of Tyre was not in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering. Goes on to say that you were the workmanship of God, thy tambourines, the pipes prepared, and the day of thou was created. Verse 14, you were the anointed guardian cherub. This is so important. I placed you, you were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in the ways of the day you were created, till unrighteousness was found in you. It's important you understand this. This scripture describes the physical makeup of Lucifer. When it says that you were created perfect. In fact, if you read Isaiah 14 in contrast to this, it talks about the instruments that were created inside Satan, Lucifer. So Lucifer was an archangel, or this scripture points to him as a cherub, one that ministered unto the Lord. Now, understanding archangels from a scriptural standpoint, we have three. We have Gabriel, we have Michael, and we have Lucifer. So Gabriel was the archangel that ruled over the word. He was the one that always brought the word of God to people. We see this when he brought the word of the Lord to Mary and others. Then you have Michael. He was the archangel of prayer. He was the one that was always making war in the heavenlies, answering prayers like we see in the story of Daniel. Or even when it said that when Satan came for the body of Moses, that the archangel Michael did war and said, the Lord rebuke you. So we see this in prayerful or warfare in prayer. Then we see Lucifer, who's the archangel of worship. So we have the word, we have prayer, and we have worship. Now, this is interesting, is the archangels were ones that were allowed to access the presence of God and the throne of God on a regular basis. We know this because it didn't even stop when the Bible says that Satan or Lucifer went to the presence of God, the throne of God, with Job to condemn Job. So there's an access that these archangels have to the presence of God. What can we learn from this? There are things that we can do in our daily encounter that gives us access to the throne room,
that gives us access to the holy place. What are there? There is access through the word and meditation. There is access through prayer, and there is access through worship. So there is going to be a demonic attack on prayer, the word, and worship. But Satan was designed to give worship, but he started to like the feeling of worship pass through him.
So instead of giving the worship, he started to take it. But there was a problem. He was made for worship. He wasn't made for worship. You were made for worship, but we are not made for worship. See, we cannot handle this level of adoration. We were not created to handle this level of adoration. And what happens is you start taking worship that is not meant for you, just like Lucifer, just like Satan in Isaiah chapter 14, who fell from heaven, oh morning star, like lightning. He got brought down to the earth and was taken from the high place, just like that. So you will be. If you dare try to take any worship that is assigned to God that we're not created for, that's why you got to be careful, because the introduction of worship is that pride, where you start feeling good about what people begin to say about you. People begin to celebrate you. Celebration's wonderful, but you got to be careful if that celebration turns to praise. Because we were not created for praise. We were made to worship, but never to be worshiped. I love this. Proverbs 27:21. It says, a crucible for silver and the furnace of gold, but a man is tested by praise. Some of you guys think it's hard when people criticize you. That's easy. The real test is what happens when men begin to praise you. See, there's two options when people begin to praise you. You can either, like Lucifer, start to receive it, or you can begin to reject it. Let me give you two examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12, it says, on the appointed day, Herod donned the royal robes and sat on his throne and addressed the people. They begin to shout, this is the voice of a God, not a man. Verse 23, and immediately, because Herod did not give glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. It's interesting, because in Isaiah 14, it talks about Satan being cast down to worms. This King Herod was cast down to worms. It looks like that there's this spirit wormwood that is trying to take praise from people. Take what belongs to God. What is the lesson here? Is that you will be cast down like Satan, like King Herod, and your end result will be eaten by worms in death and destruction if you try to take the praise that doesn't belong to you. Look at Acts 10. It says, this is Peter. It says, on the following day, he entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. And he had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered Cornelius and he met him, look at this, he fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, I too am a man. I love this. Peter had to come down to where Cornelius was. If you feel that praise coming on you, the best thing you could do is get on your knees as fast as you can. Adoration, that place of worship, that place of prostrate before the Lord, that place of complete, total surrender. I said it before, let me say it again. Satan's greatest desire is for you to worship him. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness after 40 days. Three times the tempter, the deceiver, Lucifer, Satan comes and tempts him. And finally, in Matthew chapter 4, he says, I will give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me. This is the end goal. This was Satan's goal from the beginning in heaven. We see it reflected in Matthew chapter 4. What he desires more than anything is for people to worship him. And what you need to understand is this is the war. There's a spiritual war over worship. That's why it's not coincidental that in 2020 the world shut down and they were adamant about churches shutting down. And then in some states they were adamant about worship shutting down. Because in order for them to get you to worship something else, they first have to stop your current worship.
You know this is the end game? According to the book of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation chapter 13, 4, it says they worship the dragon and then they worship the beast. Listen, the purpose of the Antichrist is not for you to get a mark on your hand and use cryptocurrency to buy your groceries. The purpose of the mark of the beast, the purpose of the Antichrist is to receive your worship. It is a war over your worship.
So how does he war? He doesn't just tell you, hey, an Antichrist is coming and we're going to use COVID to shut the world down and we're going to get you scared of everything. You can go to the grocery store and shop, but you can't come to church because they're going to tell you church is too dangerous. They're not going to set this up for you and just softball it for you. They're going to use other spirits to try to deceive you. They're going to use your ability or because you haven't meditated on his word. So someone throws out a loose scripture from Romans 13 and tells you you got to do everything that some tyrannical government tells you to do, even though they don't honor their own constitution and government. But watch, they will play on your lack of worship.
Most people didn't care that church got shut down for a year because they went four times a year.
So they got three back and they'll make it up next year. No, he's not going to tell you what he's doing. He will just try to get you to stop doing it. How does he get you to stop doing it? He tries to get you mad at God. Isn't that what he did with Job? Does he fear you for nothing? He starts taking things away. So then all of a sudden you get sick and you can't figure it out. So now you're mad at God because you went to an altar service, breathed in the presence of God, didn't feel better. And now you're frustrated or you have a disappointment in your business or you have a disappointment in your family. You were believing by faith for something to happen and it didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. So now I'm frustrated at God. What's the first thing that happens? My worship stops. And I stop giving him the value, the honor that he deserves. It's a spirit of Antichrist at work. And now I'm worshipless. Watch, in my same situation. Maybe you feel like Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They're doing the word of the Lord. They're doing the works of the Lord. They're preaching the gospel. They're advancing the kingdom. They're doing everything that they're supposed to do. In fact, Paul was the chief persecutor of Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was the one overseeing the stoning of the martyr Stephen. He was a bad dude. He did all of these injustices for in the name of God. He had all of this religiosity around him. He did all of these things that he thought was for God, but they were really for the spirit of religion. And so now he's turned. He encountered God. And now he's living for God. He's doing the right thing and he's doing the right thing and finds himself in the wrong place when he's done the right thing. Now in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, after they've obeyed God, done everything right, they were beat and put in prison. And we're just upset that our stimulus was late. Just Kermit the Frog you for a second. They're beat and in prison. I don't have time to read it all. We're in a hurry. So they just worship.
Some of you let your circumstances determine your worship. Some of you allow prayers answered or not determine your worship. Excuse us why the God of all eternity, God of all existence, comes down off his throne to answer your beck and call. We pray such prideful and foolish things like, Lord, if you're real, when nature declares his glory, they begin to worship. You know the story. Worship team, come and join me. You know the story. The jails begin to shake. If there was an organ here, we'd call it a jailbreak and run around the building. The jails begin to shake. They begin to break. Literally, they come off the hinges. Everyone goes free. The jailer almost commits suicide and falls on a sword. Paul says, don't worry about it. No one has escaped. Then he says, what must I do to be saved? He gets saved. He gets baptized. His family encounters God. And then the leadership is embarrassed. So they said, y'all can go. And majority of people would say thank you and run out. But not Paul. Let's look at this. Acts 16. Let's look at verse 35. But when it was day, the magistrates and the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul saying, the magistrates had said, let you go. Therefore come out and go in peace. Look at verse 37. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly uncondemned. Means without a trial. Men who are Roman citizens and have thrown us into prison and now throw us out secretly. Look what he says. He's a bad dude. He says, no, let them come themselves and take us out. And the police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard he was a Roman citizen, verse 39. So they came down and apologized to them. And they took them out and asked them to leave the city. This is so awesome. Watch this happen. So they begin to worship and they experience freedom. When they experience freedom, they said, you can go free. And Paul says, I'm not going without an escort. See, some of you don't realize that when the enemy touched your family, when the enemy touched your body, when the enemy came against you and condemned you, you haven't stood trial yet. Because you have an advocate named the Holy Spirit. You have an advocate who died on the cross for you. You have an advocate despite all your sins that you've done, despite every mistake you've made, despite every sin that you've committed. Every single one of those sins has already been paid for. They have already been bought with a price. They have already been nailed to an old rugged cross. Despite who you are, despite what you become, you have an advocate who's paid them all. And Paul says this, you got to come and get me. See, this is what worship will do. It's the one that was created for worship, that fell from heaven, has to not just release you, he has to watch you live in freedom. Oh, this is what it means when there's a table set for you in in the presence of your enemy. This is why there is such war over your worship, because there is a heavenly war that's going on over your worship. And some of you have not released the worship, have not released the adoration, have not released to God what is due His. Some of you have withheld it. Some of you have hid it. Some of you have had it stolen from you. And this is a moment where you can stand to your feet. You can drop to your knees. You can lay before the Lord and give the Lord everything that is due to Him, everything that He deserves, everything that belongs to Him, everything the enemy tried to steal. Right now, this is what makes it supernatural, is that it makes the war in the heavenlies begin to ignite. There's a war in the heavenlies over worship, and we see breakthrough on the earth when we release it.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.